You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
These guys survived the David Kahn era of Timberwolves basketball and lived to tell about it. It's Flagrant Howls.
All right, we were on the fence about doing an episode today here. We got the OG Wolves guy, Judd. We got Declan in the house. Because the Wolves do play tonight against Oklahoma City. Two teams tied for the Western Conference lead, but sometimes sports dad knows what's good for his sports children. He said, I think we need to have a Chris Finch conversation. There's a lot, like, Saturday night was about as mad as people have been about Chris Finch decisions. And so let's have a Chris Finch conversation. We can also have, there's a couple tentacles off of this, and then we'll see what happens against Oklahoma City tonight. A shout out to our friends over at First Equity Mortgage, by the way. So a few years back, I had an amazing experience refinancing my home at the time with David over at First Equity. David, by the way, a 20-year season ticket holder, Wolves and Lynx. So you'll see him roaming around Target Center. But you know, First Equity is a Minnesota-based, 24 years in the market, by the way, company. They pride themselves on supporting the community, treating every customer as a friend and neighbor. They work fast. They have a great reputation in the community and industry. And David won't say this, but I'll say it for him. He's been recognized in the top 1% of loan originators in the country for the last 15 years. So you know you're getting a great experience with First Equity Mortgage, femort.com, or go to scorenorth.com, keyword David. Jed, what was your sense? That game that they blew against the Spurs was, people were pissed, mm-hmm. right? Now, yes. Oklahoma City just got beat by the Pistons last night. So we're kind of in the weird doldrums of the season where teams just get kind of bored and check out. It's just life in the NBA. So we're trying to parse apart how much of this is just like, it's January in the NBA versus, oh, there's some real red flags that need to be sniffed out.
So I was actually watching the Wild meltdown against the Ducks on Saturday at the X when the Wolves lost. And, you know, there's times on Twitter where there's two or three people that are, you know, pissed off. They're always pissed off, right? But the outrage that I saw on my timeline was huge. It's like, okay, this is a lot. And again, this goes back to the good thing. This is how many the Wolves fans the Wolves have when they're a relevant franchise, which they clearly are right now. And I finally and the outrage was like, Finch has to go, Milwaukee just fired their coach, blah blah blah. And it got to a point where I finally tweeted something along the lines of, this would be over the top even for me, you know, because I've certainly called for coaches
fire people's asses all the time.
I said, you know, they are. I mean, they're pretty good shape record-wise here. And then it felt like, Phil, and this is why I want to get your opinion and feeling. It felt like the response was that the end of the game situation was so poorly handled from both a coaching and player standpoint. And they did lose by one. And I know Kat took that last shot, but there was so much outrage about that and about what Finch had done that I wanted to get your opinion and feeling for the masses about, one, what you saw, but two, like, was this some type of tipping point? Like, if things go wrong here, let's just theoretically say, was this sort of the start of, you can go back and identify that game as the time where it became clear what Chris Finch doesn't do well?
Well, I want to start by saying any talk about firing Chris Finch is ludicrous to me. Mm-hmm. You'd be ignoring the fact that this dude, think about the commentary. I'm talking like a president. Look, I've got my thumb pursed against my fist here. America. That's how worked up I am about this fire Chris Finch stuff. Now, there are some valid criticisms, and I want to get there. There is a very damning thing that happened in that game against San Antonio that is 100% on Chris Finch, and we will get to it. But let's just zoom back out for a second. A year and a half ago, the Timberwolves made a trade for Rudy Gobert. The entire NBA, national media, fans, locally and nationally, panned that trade as, wow, why would you give up that much for Rudy Gobert? And how could this lineup possibly be effective with 2 7-footers, right? And the first year was kind of clunky, but they are right now the number one team in the Western Conference as we go into February. So, like, we'll see what happens against Oklahoma State tonight, but they're going to be potentially the number one team in the Western Conference come trade deadline. Did anyone think that that was a possibility going into the start of this season? So, like, from a macro perspective, Chris Finch has brought pieces together. He's helped develop Anthony Edwards into one of the top probably 15, 16 players in the NBA. And he has gotten Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns to work as a thing. So from a big picture standpoint, he is absolutely getting this thing right as the chef. Okay. Mm-hmm. From a micro standpoint, against the Spurs the other night, the Wolves played a lineup that included Jordan McLaughlin, Kyle Anderson, Shake Milton, and Rudy Gobert together for 6.5 minutes. Those four guys have never played together this entire season. Those four guys can't shoot worth a lick. Shake Milton's the best shooter in this group, and he's a below league average 3-point shooter in his career. So there's no spacing. So they can't space. They can't shoot. You know, maybe they play, I think the thought was collectively they play better defense than some other combinations. But at the end of the day, in those 6.5 minutes, those four guys were outscored 21-6 by one of the worst teams in the NBA. And so, like, if you just don't put that lineup together and experiment with it in that moment, you probably don't give up a 21-6 run, and you're not in the position that you were when you bring the starters back in. And now the game is, instead of being up by 10, now you're tied. Now there's a whole clutch time conversation too, and that Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards, who cares how the game got to that point? It's basically a tie game and you're playing the Spurs, figure out a way to win the game, right? So there's criticism there too. But, you know, maybe Finch's logic was, hey, you know, there's probably 3 or 4 teams in the NBA that we would experiment with new lineups to see what happens. And the Spurs are one of them. Like, are we going to experiment with that lineup against the Thunder in a couple nights? No. So he might fight back from that perspective. But if you aren't already following, by the way, Howls and Growls, Jake Painting's YouTube channel or Twitter account, he did a great film breakdown of this exact 6.5 minutes showing, hey, you got non-shooter in this corner, non-shooter in this corner over here. And so the Spurs are just ignoring those guys and pinning down in the paint on the pick and roll action. Like, the spacing issues and the shooting issues, even when you have some of your best players on the court, are a problem. But when you take those guys off the court and you're putting this lineup out for 6.5 minutes, I know the Spurs are bad, but that was waving the white flag in a game that you didn't need to. Super, super weird lineup. So macro, Chris Finch, good. Micro against Spurs in that moment and throughout times this season, getting these guys to space better, bad. Bad Chris Finch.
So with that being said then, like, are there – yes, in that game it was obviously a bad decision, but are there, like, red flags with Finch? Because I keep seeing Wolves – Twitter talk about, you know, his late game and he does this wrong and he, like, are there, long-term concerning things that you see him do that you sort of cringe at and think in a playoff game, that's going to cost you?
I'm going to answer that with data and then we can parse this. Okay. So our guy, Jace Frederick, who's been a friend of ours for a number of years, and he covers the Wolves beat for the Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com. So he tweeted out a couple nights ago, since Christmas, the Wolves have the third worst clutch net rating and the second worst clutch offensive rating. So clutch means last 5 minutes of the game and the score is within 5 points in either direction. So a close game, last 5 minutes. And since Christmas, the Wolves are one of the worst clutch time teams in the league. Over that period, Anthony Edwards is 4-for-15 from the clutch or in the clutch. Cat is 4-for-15 in the clutch. And Mike Conley's clutch time usage has taken a major dip. And I did my own research on this too. So for the season, Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns, their net rating per 100 possessions combined is a minus 12 points when those guys are on the court together in clutch time. So those are the two guys you're going to lean on in those moments to score points, and then they have to get back and play defense too. Yep. And they have not been good. Cat on the season shoots just 42% in the clutch, just 30% from three in the clutch. Anthony Edwards shooting 49% overall in the clutch, which is good, but 31% from three-point range. So they're not knocking down threes. Cat is not shooting well really at all in the clutch. And yet their usage skyrockets in those moments because you're sort of leaning on, like, hey, it's a free-flowing offense. It's a close game late. Well, guess who's going to ball hog? It's going to be Anthony Edwards. It's going to be Karl-Anthony Towns. Meanwhile, Mike Conley's usage dips in those moments. So I guess I say all of this to say, if you're Chris Finch and your two best young star players are worse in the clutch, but their usage is higher, how about we run more set plays? How about Mike Conley is maybe a higher usage player in those situations to be an organizer? At some point, I mean, Anthony Edwards is 22 years old, and so there's just going to be a certain level of, like, feeling it out until he's 25 or 26. He's not going to be lights out in the clutch as a 22-year-old player every night. But if you're Finch, you have to rein some of this stuff in. Those guys clearly aren't able to figure it out on their own, like other veteran tandems. Like, you know, I'm trying to think of, like, Joel Embiid knows what he's doing in the clutch, right? Jokic knows what he's doing in the clutch. These guys don't. They're still trying to figure it out. So if you're Finch, you probably have to create some more structure for them so that you can go to some things that actually work more often instead of just sort of freelancing it. So I don't know if that, I mean, it's kind of a red flag. It's not a fire him red flag because right. They've been able to overcome it.
But it's concerning.
To win games. But, like, it needs to get fixed if they want to make a playoff run, 100%.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
And you saw, I mean, like, what age is it? Adrian Smith, the Bucks coach, Adrian Griffin, excuse me, who got fired from the Bucks. Then Doc Rivers has taken over for Milwaukee. You know, that hire, just in general, from what I gather, like, that was just a bad hire. Like, and then the locker room didn't fit. He didn't fit with Dame. There was just, like, a weird dynamic there. And Finch, you've seen him already get, like, really pissed off, especially the last few weeks, where the Wolves have been playing still mostly decent basketball. I know the loss to the Spurs stinks, but I think you would worry that would the locker room turn on him? And I have no indication to suggest, like, the locker room is getting fed up or getting upset that Chris Finch is so animated and so pissed off in post games.
Yeah, I don't think he's lost the locker room.
No.
At all whatsoever. And I think you even hear, and let's go back to that that Hornets debacle where, yeah, and he did do a 180 the next press conference, kind of say, I should have praised Cat more, but he torched that team in the post game. And the players in the locker room were all kind of like, yeah, he said the same thing to us, and we pretty much agree. We were just kind of messing around in that game. So, yeah, and And they have not, by the way, I don't think they've been playing good basketball for like a month. They've just been kind of coasting in some of these games. They've had defensive lapses. Their offense has been train wrecky. And even during that stretch, I'm trying to see like where the line would be. Like they lost the back-to-back games against the Knicks and the Pelicans. They're still like 500 over this stretch that they're playing pretty bad basketball. So again, some of this, yes, a lot of this stuff needs to get fixed if they're going to make a playoff run. You can't just be bumbling around on offense. You can't be bad in clutch time. Guess what? In the playoffs, you're going to be in a lot of games with 4 minutes to go that are within 5 points. And you need to know what you're doing in those situations. But like, he's not running out in a playoff game, a lineup that includes Jordan McLaughlin, Kyle Anderson, Shake Milton, Rudy Gobert. They will make a trade, I'm sure, for an offensive player. So there's a lot that we'll sort of figure out between now and the trade deadline here in what, a couple weeks.
Your Aunt Cat statistic concerns me the most. Like, if you don't get that fixed, you're probably just screwed. And
yes.
So like that's and that last possession against the Spurs, which was mostly on Cat. I don't know if he didn't see Gobert flash open. Like, they're down by 1 point.
I don't think those guys trust anyone. There was a couple possessions too where, you know, it's like fourth quarter and you've got like three non-shooters on the court, or maybe there's a non-shooter in the corner, Kyle Anderson on the wing, whatever it may be. Those guys don't shoot those shots. Like, Kyle Anderson doesn't shoot those shots.
Right.
You know, if Shake Milton's in the corner and you're Cat and you're driving and the defender comes off Shake Milton, I see why you don't pass it to him. I like, Cat is trying to process.
Yep.
I'm defending Cat here, I guess. Like, I there's some fatal flaws with Cat that we've seen pop up throughout the years. But if you're on the court and Kyle Anderson's in the corner and a defender comes off Kyle to sort of double team you as you're driving, is the right play to pass it to Kyle Anderson, who's not going to shoot it? Or is it to just try and get to the rim and maybe get fouled? Like, I see the conundrum. A lot of this is more of a roster construction conundrum than anything else. If they were to have better shooters in the corners and just better spacing, I think you'd see some better clutch time statistics from a guy like Karl-Anthony Towns. But there's literally plays where, like, Rudy Gobert is on the low block, and then there's a non-3-point shooter in the corner, and that defender is sagging off. And now, like, there's two defenders in the paint, plus Cat's defender that's on him. What's he supposed to do in some of those situations?
Yeah. Well, and they have to get another guy that can knock down shots. Like, I think it becomes very difficult to get past the first round. Like, I think you could win a first round series with this constructed roster. I don't know that you could get to the conference championship if you don't. I also would like to say, while I agree completely, Chris Finch's job should not be in jeopardy. That's silly at this point. I also would like to sound the panic alarm on one thing, though. I'm growing very concerned about this Mike Conley thing. Hamstrings worry me. Hamstrings and old men worry me more. He is just too important to like be like, oh, that's fine. It's just his importance to this team, and in my opinion, on the floor, in uniform, not cheerleading. And this keeps, you know, the game that he missed against Charlotte was originally because of what they said was a hamstring problem. Then he missed the next game because he was sick. Then he came back, and now he's on the injury report for tonight's game against OKC because of the hamstring again. This worries me.
Well, he's old, and yep. they've kind of, I'm sure, seen this coming from his career. And once they made that, I mean, when they made that trade, they knew that he wasn't going to be an 82 game,
right,
36 minutes a night grinder anymore. So I just wonder. I think number one, just sit him for a few games if needed. I mean, if you need to sit him for 2 weeks, I'd rather him get the hamstring right now and mm-hmm. they kind of flounder and play 500 basketball. Because what's the worst that can happen? You sit him, you're unorganized, you're not going to lose every game. Maybe you drop, because right now there's a one game gap between the top four teams in the Western Conference.
Yeah, you drop.
You drop to fourth in the Western Conference. I mean, okay. Is that... That doesn't really matter. Like, if at the beginning of the season you would have said, hey, the Wolves are going to be the fourth seed in the Western Conference at the end of the year, they're going to win
50
games.
If you can
get
it right, I'm with you.
Just sit him.
Like, if it's not going to be a problem, if you can guarantee me that 2 weeks out gets him right for the rest of the season, I'm totally with you on this.
Yeah. And then is there something via trade? And I agree, our guy Dane Moore put out a tweet that's 100% right. There's a lot of Wolves fans trying to figure out how can we get Tyus Jones to Minnesota here for the rest of the year. He's an expiring contract. And there's ways to make it work with like matching salaries. If you were to take Shake Milton and put him next to Wendell Moore, this, but like some team is going to offer a first round pick for a stretch run of Tyus Jones because he's a really good player and he's been in playoff games. So I don't know that there's a path, and the Wolves can't trade a first round pick this year. So I don't know that there's a path to getting him, because that would be great. Okay, now you can just play him for 25 minutes, and maybe there's times where they're both on the court at the same time, but it's going to be hard to get him. What else is out there? Could Monte Morris, we've talked about from the Pistons, he just played his first game with the Pistons like a week ago, and he's had some injury issues this year, but he was with Tim Connolly's Nuggets team for 5 years as a good combo guard. He's on an expiring contract. But I'm kind of like, I'm on the fence about Kyle Anderson. At his best, which we saw last year, he's one of the top leaders on the team. He's one of the top defenders. He's one of the Swiss Army knife players that you can play with different lineups. He can play point guard if needed. But he's not as good as he was a year ago. I don't know if it's the eye injury. He's completely irrelevant as an outside shooter now. He's got one of the highest turnover rates, I think the highest turnover rate on the team. He's a huge liability on offense when he's out there. So I don't know that his adaptability and his Swiss Army knife-ness and his defense makes up for just how bad the team and the lineup combos are when he's out there offensively. So you're going to have to make a decision on him too. Like, do you trade one of the heartbeat pieces of your team for something that might fit better and see if that fit can integrate in the last 2 months of the year? So it's amazing. We're talking about these things that are kind of sideways and kind of wrong with this team right now, but they're 32-14 and tied for the one seed in the Western Conference, which is like the big picture of it is holy crap. And even during the stretch of their season where they're playing the worst basketball, they're like 500 over the last 3 weeks. So it's interesting.
This episode is brought to you by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, it's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough reinvention. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you reinvent. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at pwc.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
The good thing is that they are now being, and it's fun, but they're being held to a standard now too. Like, and you know, they should be, but that meltdown, I mean, meltdowns with good teams do cause outrage. Like, ain't nobody talking about the Wild's meltdown against the Ducks, because we just don't think that they're good, which is, you know, which has been the Wolves for years. But I do think it's a good sign that the basketball community and basketball fans get pissed off now, because that at least means that they're invested and care. And I, you know what, as this team succeeds, I think that there's probably going to be more and more of an expectation that if they get beat in 7 games in the first round for the first time in a long time, that's not going to be good enough.
Yeah. So no, I think winning a playoff series kind of feels still like that's the next step. Just win a playoff series. It'd be the second time, the second year in franchise history where they have advanced in the playoffs.
Yep.
But also, like, the Thunder got beat by 16 points in Detroit last night. It's January in the NBA.
Right.
And things can be weird. The Thunder also lost games to the Hawks and the Nets a couple weeks ago. So, I mean, even the Nuggets have had stretches this season where lately they've been more dialed in, but they've had some weird losses at times. Like, they lost at home to the Rockets about a month and a half ago. In fact, they lost back-to-back games to the Rockets. They've lost 3 games to the Rockets. There you go. I mean, like,
Do you think if Charlotte and or San Antonio had just flat out drilled the Wolves by, let's say, 15, that it wouldn't have caused much dismay? It feels like the nature of the losses would have caused dismay too. It feels like the nature of the defeats is causing the dismay.
Yeah, and it should cause a little bit of dismay. But I think sometimes we go from, like, I don't know if it's just the way that we consume sports now. We go from, like, oh, that was a really bad thing. Oh, that's another bad thing, to fire somebody. Well, okay.
Well, because Milwaukee, and there's no comparison there. Declan's exactly right. But that's because, you know, you see, well, the Bucks did it. The Bucks did it.
But it also might, we don't know if it's going to work for the Bucks.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be the norm that you are a top team in your conference and you fire a coach. There has to be some major behind the scenes rotting.
Right.
For that to happen. So again, the Wolves are still the number one team in the NBA defensively. That is the thing that they can hang their hat on, as we talked about last week. And they need to iron some of this stuff out with lineup combos and spacing. And they're definitely a player short. So they need to iron some of this stuff out. If they go through the trade deadline and don't do anything meaningful, then I think there's some major room for criticism. But Tim Connelly, if we're counting the Gobert trade as a win, which I am, I mean, that Gobert trade has vaulted them to the best defense in the league and the number one seed in the West halfway through year two. He has nailed every single personnel move since he took office less than 2 years ago. Like, every single one, and has fleeced a couple teams. What's he going to do now? This is and he knows it. Like, he knows that this team is a player short. They're a shooter short. Their offense needs a boost. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what his next move is.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the fact that you have calmed the fears. You've calmed the fear. I was just curious because people were exploding. They were so mad. It was a regular season game. They want the coach fired. Even I don't want the coach fired. So I was I felt it was a great time to do a show and to sort of put into context where things stand.
Yeah. So macro, Chris Finch, awesome. Micro, Chris Finch, got to fix a couple things. Yeah. And Carl Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards, you got to be more organized and figure out the clutch time stuff. And Mike Conley probably just needs to be running the show a little bit more. Like, I always get baffled by these teams. What got you to the 10-point lead? Or what got you to your record right now? Ball movement, point guard, organizing, certain actions. And then all of a sudden it turns into, like, Anthony Edwards dribbling the air out of the ball. Or Carl Anthony Towns taking on a triple team of defenders. Like, okay, you built a 15-point lead. Did you do it by barreling into three defenders for 2 hours? Or did you do it through ball movement and pick and roll action? So tell the audience, by the way, if they want to lose some weight this time of year, Judd, where should they turn to?
Oh, it's as simple as this. Livia Weight Control Center is going to help you not only drop that weight, but you're also going to get the first 3 months for free. That's right, 3 months for free. Imagine going into spring, you're down 15, 20 pounds, you're feeling great. And by the way, they're going to help you keep that weight off. This is a program that works. Sports Dad was on this program a couple of years ago, dropped 40 pounds. Look at that guy on the left, guy on the right. That's the same guy. And now they also have brand new medical weight loss options. And this could be a life changer for a lot of folks because it helps to suppress many of the cravings that make weight loss so difficult. Again, 3 months for free, dropping weight, getting help, and getting your life and your shape back on track. 855-GO-LIVIA. Livia.com, LIVEA.com.
All right. Wolves, Thunder tonight. Kyle and I will react to that tomorrow on Flagrant Howls, your favorite Timberwolves lifestyle podcast.